Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit with excitement. God is excited about what he's doing. He loves his people. I'm excited about what he's doing because I love his people. I know that God has great things in store for those who love him. And my heart is full of his word, the word that he gave me to share. And I thank God. I can't wait to get into it. You know, enthusiasm is something that we need to not only sustain us, but to help us to continue strong in the things of God. It's one thing to do the will of God because we're supposed to, but it's altogether greater and much better when we're enthused and full of the joy of the Lord and we obey him and do his word. There's nothing like it. That's a joy that you can touch. It seems like you can just reach out and grab it. It's tangible joy. And I thank God for it. You know, the revelation that the Lord has given, it would be so exciting. You couldn't but speak of it. And some of the responses that I got was, it was varied. Sometimes I expected people to just enjoy it like me. You know, we always think that others will think like we do, but that's not the case. But, you know, I thank God for the men of God and the friends that I have that could receive it. And one friend that always received from each other. Whatever God told him, I rejoiced. Whatever God told me, he rejoiced. And you know, we both, even now to this day, we've gone our ways. God is using us in different places, but we're still doing the works of God. And I got back in touch with him this weekend. Ody Berry, he sings the intro song on the radio. That was an album he did years ago. He let me use one of his songs. But I thank God for him. Now, when we were talking about the lukewarm Laodicean church and how it got that way. And I started noticing that Jesus' address to the seven churches gives us a backstory. To keep the church on track, he told out of seven churches, he told five of them, he warned them of things that they needed to watch out for. And if you don't watch out for it, the leaven will grow. And so I want to look at that too. Now we made it to we did the Church of Smyrna yesterday, and we covered the Church of Ephesus first, and started with the Church of Ephesus, and then the Church of Smyrna. Now we're down to the Church of Thyatira, and well, we did the Pergamos church also. Now we're going to look at the church in Thyatira. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. He said, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, those things saith the Son of God, whom hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy work, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." Okay, he listed, "I know thy works," once. Then charity, second. Service, faith, third. Well, faith is fourth. Then patience, fifth. And then he said works again. He said it with more emphasis. The last to be more than the first. So they were working. They had love. They had service. They had faith. They had patience. They were working. A person can be doing these things. You would think that if they're doing everything listed in verse 19, especially with works, that wouldn't be any problem. But verse 20 said, that's verse 19, verse 20 said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now they were allowing something. They were, they were suffering Jezebel to do this. Now the real Jezebel is dead, but this is a new one. This is a woman that came in the spirit of Jezebel that uses sex magic, basically, calling herself a prophet, and then she teach and she teach and seduce her the servants of God to commit a fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. In other words, to blend the world with the church. Then God is so good and merciful, he gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Then he said, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now you see that. The church will go through the great tribulation, because there are many people that are doing precisely what is written in verse 22. The whole church won't be raptured, only those that's ready to go. But there's a lot of people that's going to get cast into he said great tribulation. That alone lets you know he's talking to the entire church, as well as the church that did exist. And if you do something like this, the enemy will have you're giving the enemy a place, and he will use it against you, whether it's in the great tribulation that's to come or the great tribulation that you caused. I was listening to Tom Horn last night, and I was made aware of something. People are trying to avoid the great tribulation, but did you know every century had its own Christian purge? It's just going to be worse and more advanced and more bloody in the last one. But it seems like every century had its own Christian purge, or at least every other century. That was, the Spanish Inquisition, the French, the Muslim Revolution, in the 18th and 19th century. Now, I never took time and learned. I heard about these things in passing. I never took time and studied them. But people are so, they want to be raptured before the tribulation. But guess what? The church itself has been going through this a long time. And it's not going to stop. You have to. Now look at what Jesus said. He said, because she started with fornication, then God hardened her heart. He cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. In other words, he gave her over to a reprobate mind. That's what happens when people go from, if they fool around and won't repent, that their heart is leavened. It's being leavened, and it's filling up with sin. And eventually, God hates sin. He'll give you over to your own way. Now she's committing adultery. And they that are committing adultery with her, he's going to cast them into great tribulation. Now, I noticed something. When people are being leavened by the enemy, you can't tell them nothing. You can't teach them. And this thing was so bad after this, he said, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. I'm going to finish this, and I'm going to go right back. He said, but unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my word until the end. To him will I give power over the nations. They never allowed themselves to be leavened in verse 26. That was the goal. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken and to shivers, even as I received of my father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So when people obey God, they're going to receive the blessings within the will of God. Now, he said he'll kill her children with death. This is a consumption. This kind of sin, it consumes things. And to stop the process of it, see, if he didn't kill the children with death, the next generation would be worse. If you can say you're a prophet and deceive God's people into fornication and adultery, you can resist the Holy Ghost to that magnitude, what will your children do? Because there's a law. Now, the Lord pointed this out in Genesis several times. And we produce after our own kind. Fruit trees bear fruit after their own kind. People bear children after their own kind. That's why if you want to have godly children, you have to be, if you're a man, you have to be a godly man and do all you can to marry a godly woman that won't repent, that won't stop being a godly woman, that won't go back to the world, and raise your children according to the wisdom of the Proverbs, the love of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and you'll have stable children. You know, you enjoy the relationship of the Psalms. You obey the things of God, the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain. You take in what Jesus said to the seven churches, and you train your children in the way that they should go, teaching them to love and appreciate the Holy Ghost like you do. And that's the only way to bear good fruit. See, these churches were supposed to be in place and overcoming every generation until Jesus came. Now, I don't know much about church history. I mostly studied the word. But there's something that happened to all these churches throughout the ages. But I know for a fact God always has a remnant. And there are those, sometimes it's just a few families that will hold fast. And their children will survive the works of darkness. Some of them were killed. So, and some of them were martyred. See, if sin grows, it just don't stop with the sin, those that sin. Sinners, they have no peace. They have no hope. And so once they get full of leaven, the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the doctrine of the Pharisees, once they get full of leaven, they murder. When a sinner gets strong enough in Satan, when they get strong enough in Satan, they hate what Satan hates, always, 100% of the time, whether they want to or not. They hate what Satan hates. And they start with the Jews and then the church, or the church and then the Jews. And I'm not talking about the lukewarm church. They don't like them either, but they hate those that love God. They don't know why they hate them. Even among Christians, when you're growing and your life is working and the Lord is blessing you, some Christians get envious. Anybody that has leaven in their heart they become witchy. Cain jealousy. Cain killed Abel because he gave a better offering. So this kind of leaven is out there. It started with Cain. It started with Adam's fall. But Cain was the first one to give us example that this is not the way. And hopefully he repented and learned from his mistake. I believe he did. But nevertheless, this kind of activity is rampant. Now, let's go back to Thyatira. This is, you know, this is to help people avoid. If you know what to watch out for, you know what to avoid. If you stay in the love of God, according to 1 Peter, the whole book, you'll never have these problems. See, the Lord said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her to great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. He gave them space to repent, but they didn't use that space to repent. They went on and got worse. Now, this is not a new problem. This problem is old. Let's go back to Matthew. Well, let's look at Mark first. Where Jesus, Mark chapter 8. Jesus had told his disciples. This is after he fed the 4,000. Verse 9 said, they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Verse 10, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Okay, hope I got that right. Verse 11, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doeth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, entering into the ship, again departing to the other side. And now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, this is where what I was talking about in yesterday's broadcast. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The sin of the Pharisees, sin of Herod. What did Herod do? He loved power more than life itself. He killed babies to keep the power. When the wise men made him aware that Jesus was born, he wanted to destroy Jesus. Now, you know, they started misunderstanding that the disciples thought that he was upbraiding them from not bringing bread, but we're not going to look at that. Let's look at Matthew now. Matthew, what was it, 16? Yeah. Now, Matthew 16, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now this, I believe this is the same occasion of Mark chapter 8. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering, O ye hypocrites. Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then they misunderstood. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves and of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? Now watch what he said to them. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not be aware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, if your belief system is off, your doctrine's going to be off. If it's guided by the darkness of Satan, it's going to produce the darkness of Satan. That's why when the Pharisees, that they look high and low for a proselyte, or a Gentile that converts to Judaism, basically. And when they find one, they make him twice fold the child of hell than they were. See, that's why the Jezebel's children were cut off. If you can resist the Holy Ghost to that magnitude, you can cause more problems. And that's why people that say, well, I'm a prophet, and then they go sleep around and do all this dirt. What are that? Their children will have no respect for the things of God. It's better for the children of false prophets, or the children of prophets that go astray, to die in Christ, hopefully, than to finish their life and cause a multitude of people to go to hell. He didn't say he might cast Jezebel's children into he might destroy them. He said he will. He's going to destroy them with death. And people, that's what happens when people, they say they are prophets. It's so much corruption now. And that kind of church will go through the Great Tribulation. The Lord's not going to rapture junk. He's not going to rapture filth. Filthy living on purpose. People that's leavened with the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. He's not going to rapture unbelief. He loves us all. And he's going to do what must be done. All right, now watch. Now, continuing, he said, then understand, verse 12, then understand they how that he bade them not be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, this is when Peter said that you... Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Now, I wanted to get to something else. He said, he wanted them to have the heart of God. He wanted them to know him. And he wanted them to see the things that he was saying, how that the leaven, be aware of it. It's something to be aware of. It's something to understand that not to do. This stuff is sneaky. The leaven of Herod don't come obvious. It comes slowly. It's a little bit. It's like a small drop. It comes almost microscopic. You wouldn't know. It gets below the radar. The leaven of the Pharisees gets below the radar. If one Christian receives a revelation, gets excited, full of the joy of the Lord, and go and tell somebody, I've seen people get jealous against people. I've seen them get jealous against me because of it. And they're provoked. They want, either they end the conversation and leave, or they, you know. But then there are those who ask questions. Anytime you get a revelation from the Lord and people desire it, they pull from you. They say they want more of it. They want to know it. And when you're around people that they never heard anything like that, and they receive, you know, then the Lord gets involved. And he starts causing you to understand it even better while you're talking about it. Iron, that fits the scripture that says iron sharpens iron. There's no Cain competition going on. There's no Cain jealousy going on. There's no animosity. What if people could receive that way and rejoice? Only humble people can. Some people are not humble. And the enemy will take advantage of anybody that's not humble. If people are trying to do something that is not of God, the enemy, once he take notice of it, he's going to try to use it to his advantage. But God is not involved with that kind of darkness. Now, this is Proverbs chapter 18. It says, let me say this first. I can't count the times the Lord has given me revelation and I share it. Now, when I talked to Odie about it, Odie said, man, we talk about it. And then he sees more, you know, his heart is receiving what God said. And he always say something that make me understand it even more. But there's no competition. And then, you know, let's say I come home, I just went grocery shopping, and I'm putting in the last bag. Odie walks up, and we out there talking. Now, I don't mean to start an hour-long church service, but when we get to talking in passing, I say something, or he says something, and we get to talking. Before you know it, a couple of hours went by. And sometimes I know that when we get to talking, we're going to get to talking. And me and my sister is that way. So I have to regulate when I call it. I have to make sure I'm not concentrating. You know, when I'm doing my work, I wait till I can have a break. Then I call to when I can give her my attention. Now, sometimes people they get up. Instead of rejoicing in a revelation, they do the opposite. Sometimes the Lord have sent me to pastors with the revelation, and then there were those that received it. But when God gives a revelation, the Lord, he gave me more than I gave them. And I had instructions. Some words were, he gave me a written word, for instance. And all I had to do was give him the written word. I didn't have to read it or nothing. Sometimes he wanted me to read it and give it to him. Sometimes he gave him a spoken word. And then he gave me revelation. He said, if they ask you about it, then tell them this. Or if they didn't ask, then I couldn't. Now, sometimes when something's new to Christian people, they may... Instead of receiving it, they judge it. And this happens a lot. There's a lot of wasted revelation knowledge that the Lord has been trying to give his people. But they couldn't receive it because they were not humble. Because they did receive the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. And this will prove it. It says, this is Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. There have been so many times you don't even get a chance to finish a thought before you're interrupted. And then they talk and then they end the conversation and that's it. And they know they're doing it, but they may not realize what's behind, the spirit behind why they're doing it. The enemy has them focused on how they feel, the provocation they feel, and they miss the point altogether. And the Lord can't give them the revelation. They blockade it. But one day, something's going to happen, and they're going to need that knowledge, and they're not going to have it. this happens too much. I've seen it too many times, and I know what it looks like. Okay, it says, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. This is why it's so important to hear God out. When the Lord give me something to do, I do it with faith.